Hello, you lovely lot. I wanted to take a moment to share an exciting announcement with you all. I will be doing a live show for Happy Mum, Happy Baby at the Podcast Show in London on the 22nd of May. This will be a live episode of this very podcast featuring me and a very special, soon to be announced, guest. Get ready for a candid conversation, unfiltered truths, laughs, invaluable non-judgmental advice, and lived experiences. Dive into the complexities of parenting while juggling work, relationships, and personal growth. And we'll be talking beyond the baby years. As well as the live episode, the show will also include a Q&A with both me and my guest. Tickets go on sale this Friday the 26th of April at 10 a.m, but anyone who is part of the Happy Mum Happy Baby newsletter will be getting early access to tickets on Wednesday the 24th of April at 10 a.m. To sign up to the newsletter and for more information about the event, please head to happymumhappybaby.com/events. I can't wait to see you there.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Before we get into the show, I wanted to let you know that today's episode contains difficult conversation about childhood cancer. And just a note, I had a really long and interesting chat with today's guests, and I wanted to make sure you could hear all of it. So we've split this episode into two parts. This is part one. Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Earlier this year, back in January, I was scrolling on Instagram and I came across a video of a man talking about mental health, about checking in with yourself and how we pay so much attention to what is happening physically, but actually it's your mental space that's so important. And there was something about this video that just completely captured my attention, and I just thought, who is this man? I need to know more, because there was clearly something going on that I hadn't seen within this video. So I then found your Instagram page. I scrolled more, started stalking. I found out all about his daughter, Azalea. I found out all about his partner. And I can honestly say that from the start of January this year, I have thought about you guys and your family every single day. And for that reason, I am so delighted to welcome you, Ashley Kane and Safia Boroji. Hello.
Hello.
How are you both?
Hi. I mean, first and foremost, thank you for inviting us both down today. Really appreciate it. And it's been a really tough time. Still is tough.
Yeah.
I guess it's always going to be tough. But we're supporting each other. We're staying strong. And we're just on this journey now to make our daughter proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want today to be a bit of a celebration of Azalea. And we can talk about the amazing things that you're doing in her name. But let's go right back. So first of all, I want to know about you two. What were your childhoods like?
So my childhood was really, really warming with family and my brother. He was just such a fun person to grow up with. And still now, he's like my rock. He's like my best friend.
You go on many bike rides together.
Yeah. I tell you what, he's at my door every single morning, isn't he?
Yeah,
literally he knocking on my door, get up, out you come. And yeah, he still ain't changed. So yeah, growing up was just so like warming and lovely.
Yeah.
So I've got a massive family, loads of larger than life characters. I've got two younger sisters, two older brothers. My older brothers were all born in September. We're all 2 years apart.
Right.
Fun fact. I've got a mom who's just beautiful. She's so loving and caring and such a soft person that he's there no matter what. And then my father's a bit of a old school, kind of tough fatherly figure, but he's a great dad. I think it was important in my family growing up that you had to be strong. You had to be a bit of a character to survive. And some of those traits, well, a lot of those traits I've taken into my life now, which have really helped me get over some of the trials and tribulations that I've been through, and none greater than the last one.
Yeah.
But as a family, absolutely amazing. And they've always been there to support me through everything. So really grateful.
I imagine five larger-than-life characters as well. It must be very loud.
Yeah.
Loud. Wow. It's so loud. It's so energetic. They're amazing.
Did you two grow up near each other at all, or you did?
Yeah, we're in the same area, radius system.
Same town.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And when did you first meet?
I don't actually know, do you?
Well, wow. I think
testing you. Come on.
I think we'd known of each other for a couple of years before we actually met and started dating. I wouldn't say that we were close. I think we knew of each other. Then all of a sudden, randomly, we must have met, exchanged numbers, and then the relationship developed from there. And then we haven't looked back since.
Did you talk about families and whether you wanted one yourselves?
I talked about kids from quite early because my family's so big, and because the uncles and aunties, they've got quite a lot of kids. I always wanted a family.
It was that or he's seen good bait.
Let's just talk about kids because chicks love that. Yeah.
You know that's not the
thing. But it is that thing, I think, when you enter a relationship, it comes to a certain age, shall we say, that is a topic of conversation that you
feel
bring up.
I feel like with our relationship, I feel like Ashley was, I'd probably say you was like more insisting on a family.
Yeah.
And I think that's because as a man, it's probably a lot different to a female. Female, I probably think that you think, is it going to be this? Is it going to be this? You reflect on your own childhood.
Mm.
And for me, reflecting on my childhood was a big reflection of having a child. Is it the right time?
Yeah.
Is it the right person? Am I going to be prepared? Am I financially stable? Am I this? Am I that? You have 100 things as a female that go through your mind and you think, is this the right time? All I knew is that Ashley's family loyalty, how he is as a character, how loving he is, was just like electric.
Yeah.
Which made me feel like at an age, I kind of thought maybe when I'm 30, if I don't have a child, probably won't have one. And, you know, we decided to have Azalea, didn't we?
Yeah.
And that was like, that was amazing for me because it took somebody so special to make me feel like, I am excited. Like, I want this family. And I think that fulfillment that Ashley gave me, that confidence to know that he was going to be the most incredible dad. Mm. I knew that. I felt that.
Oh, I appreciate that. For me, I think the reason why I was ready is because I just wanted to be myself.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the life that I've lived, it's taken me everywhere, from being an athlete to a pro footballer to TV to being a DJ. And all of these kind of things are personas. I was a young male and persona. But away from that, away from the decks or away from the screens, I was always back with my family.
Yeah.
You didn't see me around here, around there. I would always be around my family. So the one thing that I wanted was a family of my own.
Mm.
And just a chance to be myself and kind of give and show all the love that I had. And that's why I wouldn't say like I was pushy, but I was kind of very suggestive towards the idea because we'd been together for a while.
Yeah.
We really, really got on. And I thought we'd be great parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and when it happened...
Well, can you remember taking the test and finding out?
Taking the test. Oh, wow. I
told her she was pregnant.
He told you?
Yeah,
Tom does this to me. I'm like, don't pretend you've got like a sixth sense of whether I'm pregnant or not.
I thought I was really poorly. I really thought I was poorly. I was just coming back, going to sleep, weren't I? And did you call me?
I had a feeling that morning. And then I gave you a call and I told you to get a test.
Yeah, when I got the call to say get a test, I thought...
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Because, to be honest, it wasn't... I mean, this is probably getting a bit personal, but it wasn't something like we came off contraception and then we just tried, so I knew. Yeah. It was happening for a while, and it wasn't something that turned around quickly. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, we were kind of thinking, are we capable? Is this going to happen?
Yeah.
That's what stage it got to. So,
but also though, you spend so much of your life trying not to get pregnant. So when there is that switch, and you don't know what that contraceptive pill is doing to your body, when it's that, you know, everything takes a while to kind of readjust.
Because I even thought it was me for a stage. Like I even went and everything was fine. So that's what I mean. And then that day there was something different about it. I would say I'm very in touch. Like it's like I listen to my Native American flute music. I try to deep breathe. I'm meditate. I'm really in tune. Like the reason why I wanted to do this podcast in person today is because I believe in energy and I wanted to feel your energy, but also I knew that you sitting in front of us guys, you would feel ours.
Yeah.
So I'm really into that. And it's not because I want to be, I just kind of am. So that day I just knew. And like I said, I rang her and I told her to get a test. She got a test.
So we got the test, took it, and then left it on the kit. Well, no, took the test and then... That's what I was going
to
say. Then I put it on the side, like waiting for it to come up. Then me and Ashley were in the living room, and then he was like, I want to go and have a look first. So I was like, I actually thought, go on then, go and have a look. Because I just thought, I've took tests before and they just come back negative. And I thought, go on then. I thought, I know I'm poorly. Then he's come back in and he's, oh my God! And I thought he was joking, and I thought, oh, he's winding me up, here he is. And then literally he showed me the test. Got another test, and it's kind of like...
I also got some alcohol to celebrate.
Did you?
Because I knew we didn't need another test.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Just pee sticks for you, lots of alcohol.
I danced for her.
Really?
I didn't dance for her like that, but we party and we dance, so I literally had the music on. Had some beers and I danced till about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Literally.
Because I was so happy.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Honestly.
We had such a good night, didn't we? I'm there sober, thinking, great, can't even... Woo! Yeah, it was amazing.
That is so lovely.
Yeah, I still hold them now. Still got them now.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm. Every last little bit, still got. Yeah.
And what was the rest of your pregnancy like?
I was actually a soldier. Like, I have to put my hands up. I was good. I was actually a really, really good pregnant person, I feel. I feel like it was always so strange, you know, like feeling the pop for the first time, thinking, what's that? Okay, it's movement. Like, oh, this is bizarre. And then, like, having a craving for, like, strawberry milkshake was my, like, go-to. Like, and it was just, it was... amazing, incredible, beautiful, and kind of scary at the same time because you don't know what to expect. So many people are telling you, oh, you're going to feel this, you're going to do this. Labour, it's going to be like this. And you think, okay, like that person, until it kicks you.
Yeah.
And it goes, and you're like, oh, that's the feeling. And then you think, oh, that's the feeling. But through pregnancy, I feel like I was quite domesticated. I was...
proper nesting.
Yeah, like really, really. I'm quite a domesticated, hands-on person anyway. But through pregnancy, because I knew that, oh, we got a baby girl, she's coming. It's kind of like, have that ready, have that, everything. All dot the I's, cross the T's. Yeah.
Like, well, what did that feel like then when you found out you were having a girl?
Amazing. We literally was on the way. Sorry, I get so excited about this. I get so excited. Not for the minute. Not for the minute. But we was in the car on the way to a clinic to find out the gender. And like I'm so like spiritual, law of attraction, all of this kind of stuff. Like that is so me. And we were driving, and on the way to find out the gender, a pink balloon flew in front of the car, and I was like, did you see that? Did you see it? I was like, that is the sign, like, this is the girl. And then literally I tell you about you can talk about the scans and when we was in the room and bouncing up and down and Ashley was eating my sweets.
I mean, going back to what you said at the start about siblings, so my oldest brother, he's got a little baby boy, really, really cute, lovely kid. And so then he was the first. And then obviously we found out we're pregnant. So then, oh, well, Saf was pregnant, not me, we.
We're a team.
Yeah. So then I rang my middle brother, Matthew, and I rang him up and I said, "Hi, mate." I said, "Just letting you know, you're going to be an uncle again." And he went, "Yeah, so are you." And I was like, "Huh?" And we set our due dates, and Azalea was due 5 days before his baby daughter, Anaya. But we didn't know if they were boys or girls. So
yeah.
He was going to me, "I know it, you're going to have a boy." And I was like, "Yeah, I am, aren't I? You're going to have a boy." And we both wanted boys because we're lads. And then when we found out we're having girls, we found out we were both having girls together. And it couldn't have been better. There was just something about kind of two brothers finding out they're having little girls. And we live right next to each other as well.
Right.
So it was amazing. And I can honestly say, I know it sounds cliche because I've had Azalea now, but I wouldn't have had it any other way. I believe there's just a special connection between a daddy and his daughter.
Mm.
And to be having a baby girl with your brother as well at the same time, it was just incredible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were 5 days apart, weren't they?
Mm.
In the end, Anaya was born 5 days before Azalea. But
it was really nice as well to actually have, like, my sister-in-law, Amy, she was pregnant at the same time. So
yeah. It
was lovely. And then we've got Nikki as well. She's our other sister-in-law. She's got her baby. My brother's got Michelle. And we're suddenly all becoming this big team.
And also how that family then changes because there are children in the mix.
Everybody.
And everyone's coming together in a very different way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What was it like seeing Safia pregnant and her body changing? Because obviously for Tom, it was really weird. It was happening to me. So we'd constantly be trying to check in, like, how you feeling? What's it like? And I'd be like, "I'm fine. No, leave me alone." But is it strange having your baby growing within a woman, like, within your partner, but not knowing what that's like?
It was kind of like, "That's not my responsibility, babe."
He ain't joking.
I don't know. There's something about, like, Safia that if there's... I was so worried, honestly, about her pregnancy, just in terms of, like, emotions and how it's going to be.
Yeah.
But Safia's got a funny thing about if there's a small problem, it could be something massive, yeah? But then when you think, oh, God, there's a big problem, she just rides the wave.
Right.
So cool. So she handled pregnancy amazingly. You were tough. She was painting the house. She was cleaning.
Proper nesting.
She was still doing stuff. And I think for me, it was just more about checking in. But I think because she handled it so well, there wasn't really a time when I was really concerned. I just like to check in with the bump, speak to the bump, make sure the bump was okay. And we just kind of lived how we were living anyway. It was just so normal. And I think that's credit to Safia in the fact that she dealt with it absolutely amazing and she was a champ, to be honest.
Were there many more nights of Safia on the sofa while you danced for her?
There's quite a few, yeah.
That's not for this show.
That used to happen quite regular.
So talk to me about the birth, because you had a C-section, didn't you?
Emergency.
An emergency C-section. Yeah. So how did you feel then going towards that moment? Was there any anxiety? Because birth, as we know, is unpredictable. And we all, you know, we have plans, but it's a case of throwing them out the window and just going with what happens. How did you feel going into hospital?
So obviously it was COVID at the time. So it was very difficult. I managed to get an app that I could literally press the start and stop for contractions. So I was really good at having that. And the next minute I just thought, like, okay, they're coming fewer and closer together. So obviously I had, at the time, like, I had my aunties there, breathe, deep breathing. And then the next minute, like, straight into hospital.
Really?
And luckily, our hospital was really, really good. And because I'd been on the phone to them checking in and whatever, they allowed you straight in, didn't they?
Yeah.
With us. I think it was like 12 hours. But I was on that gas and air to the point where they was taking it out. And I thought I was still on the gas and air. Yeah, because...
Just placebo effect. Just make it...
It was the only way they could get her to stop.
Really?
Yeah, she wouldn't stop. And they were saying, you have to stop because we're not going to be able to do this. And she wasn't listening. It was quite frustrating for me because I was enjoying the gas and air as well. So anytime they wanted it taken off her, I'd make sure, like, I reiterated it so I could have a couple of breaths. But it was long.
Yeah.
It was long.
The epidural didn't work.
Oh, really?
So I took that. As soon as I went in and I was kept asking, what does labour feel like? Okay, so you're going to know. And I was like, oh, I think I'm in labour now, I think. And then it was like, well, when you're in labour, you know you're in labour.
That's the thing, because we all go into it not really knowing what that's going to feel like.
No.
And I think even with different pregnancies, each time it's different.
Yeah.
So you don't know what is going on.
No,
it's, you know.
As soon as I felt that first pain, I was like, epidural.
Had you, before going in, had you been like, no, I'm just going to go for there?
No, plan. I kept open option. Nice. So to my midwife, I was like, give me epidural. I want epidural because I thought I can always change my mind if I don't. But no, as soon as I felt that, I thought, and this is going to get worse.
Yeah.
I was like, sit me up. Yeah. Pop it in the back. But yeah, it didn't work. So 12 hours later...
So when did you realise that it didn't work?
After you get the extra
top up,
and then it was just like excruciating pain because she and Azalea ended up breaching.
Right.
So we went spine to spine.
Yeah.
So then it just started to become a little bit more difficult.
Yeah.
And then the doctor came in, and I think I was really gassed out. So you'd probably be better off.
I mean, Sophia, she really didn't want a C-section. You didn't want one at all, did you?
No.
And then it got to the point where at this stage, Sophia was gas and aired. It was like she was drunk.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? At that point. So they offered the chance to have a C-section. And I just said, yeah. Like I kind of said, we're going for it. Because there was too much stress and trauma around Saf at that time.
Yeah.
And I didn't want any more of that. And then also for baby Azalea, I just thought we need to get Azalea out now.
Well, that's all anyone wants really at the end of the day,
yeah.
Isn't it? I think there's so many things that we do go into it kind of going, well, I really like this to happen. But there comes a point where you've got to kind of go...
Just for the safety aspect as well,
yeah. You've got to leave all of that, I think, behind and in that moment go, what's going to keep us both safe?
Yeah.
I think then it turned into a little bit of it was a bit of an emergency, going into an emergency C-section. And what happened, I think, because I had the epidural and I've been in labour for 12 hours, my body was kind of going into shock. So my body was just shaking. I couldn't stop it. So it was just fully shaking. So I remember just lying on the table and all I could hear, I was zoning in. It's like I knew my body was shaking, but I could hear everybody clear.
Right.
And it was sedation. All I could hear was sedation. And then I was thinking, like, where's Ashley? I could just see a screen in front of me.
Yeah.
I could see hairnets, blue uniforms, but I couldn't hear Ashley's voice anywhere.
Mm.
And all they were saying, like, okay, we're going to have to give you general, like, your body's shaking, like, you know. I'm like, well, is Ashley here? No, he can't be in the room at the same time if you're going to have general. And I remember just screaming, get Ashley here. He could hear it down, I don't know where he was sitting.
Yeah.
I was literally like pleading with them. And then obviously I know like sedation goes into your hand. Then my hand's up in the air and I'm thinking, I know what's happening. I was like pulling my hand down. I was like really wrestling, like, get Ashley. I thought, do you know what? He cannot miss the birth of his first baby. He cannot. And if it's down to the fact of me, like, I need to man up here. I need to like really like embrace this. I said to them, if I can keep my body still and like just try and calm that, they could numb the area up,
right,
so then they could deliver safely. So that's when I was like, I was holding onto the side and literally,
really,
like, shaking.
They were actually talking about sedating her because she was like a hooligan. That's what it was. It wasn't for any other reason. They were saying, madam, she thinks it was that way around. They weren't going to let me in. They were actually telling me I couldn't come in if she didn't calm down. So they will have to sedate her if she doesn't calm down.
Really?
Yeah, because you were going mad. I was sitting outside.
It's bonkers what happens in those moments, though, where you're just not, not you. You're completely, it's the animal instinct. Isn't it? Something else takes over. It's your body. It's not you
I was just outside like that, and I could just hear her go mad. They're going, madam, we're going to have to sedate you in a minute if you don't calm down. And I was thinking,
it's like a Friday night out.
Without the handcuffs behind my back.
It's crazy. But we made it. I made it.
Yeah.
I got in there.
And what was that like, meeting Azalea?
I can't even describe it. All I can remember is them laying Azalea down, and I felt like I was a kid. I felt like I was a little kid again. And I remember saying to the nurse, "Is it okay if I kiss her?" And she went, "Of course you can. It's your baby." And I when you got something that precious, I didn't know how to touch her. I didn't know how to hold her at that point because I was overwhelmed.
Yeah,
I couldn't actually believe it. And then
the first thing I heard was, Staff, look at her.
she was shaking.
All I just thought in my head is how beautiful. I just looked at she was healthy. I could hear her scream, and I thought, I said, cut the umbilical cord.
Cord.
You cut that, didn't you?
Yeah, so that was amazing. And I just made sure that before Saf had to go, that we took her in so Saf could see her. And it was a surreal moment. You've been looking forward to something like so much for so long. I mean, obviously, the feeling. And just as a dad and seeing your little princess for the first time, it's a feeling that I can't describe, but it was truly amazing.
What was it like for you? Well, because did you have two rounds of meeting her? One because you were so out of it, and then another when you could actually take it in.
Yeah, I think the second time of me coming round to meeting her was she needed feeding.
There we go.
That's what it was. I remember seeing her and thinking, oh, she's healthy. And then it was feeding time.
But it's so funny. I've been watching videos and there's a video of you and it just looks like you're really kissing her. But now I've got a whole different thing of that moment because you're just out of it.
Yeah.
So
your lips are just on her.
Just like that, yeah. that's literally what it was like,
They photoshopped it for me.
It just looks like you're giving her a really long kiss.
Yeah, it was just amazing. It was amazing.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And how long were you in hospital for?
3 days I was.
Nice. Did that feel calm, being able to do those initial bits?
I wasn't allowed to be there.
No.
COVID.
Oh, gosh, of course. It's a completely different thing.
So after Azalea was born, I went into the room then. I'd done a first nappy. Didn't know what I was doing.
Bit of olive oil, apparently.
Huh?
That's a top tip. Put a bit of olive oil on their bums as soon as they come out because the black tar poo, it comes off.
Oh, wow.
Easier.
Oh, really? I mean,
just
yeah.
Remember
yeah. Great advice, yeah. It's a shame that you weren't there.
Sorry. If we could time hop, I'd be certainly there. Yeah.
Changed the first nappy, spent a bit of time there and had to go. I wasn't allowed to come back.
That must have been heart-wrenching, yeah. Having to leave.
Yeah.
When, you know, everything, your world is in that room and having to walk
like
out.
Straight away.
Yeah.
And I know it was hard for Saf as well because she just had the C-section. Yeah. So it wasn't... When you finally did come back home, I was kind of, for the first couple of weeks, I was kind of getting up and manoeuvring everything. And in the night, I'd get Azalea and do that just to let her recover a little bit. But in hospital, you didn't have that luxury, did you? Because...
There was understaffed. So unfortunately, because of people not being able to work, there was probably two nurses to the whole ward. And... I was at one end of the ward as well and I've never experienced a C-section, so Azalea's there, trying to, move. And I thought, I can't move. She's being sick. How pressing the button? Obviously, there's other babies, other mums that are being attended to, and you can appreciate they're understaffed.
Yeah.
And not being able to attend to your baby, it's kind of reaching over, but then when you reach, you pull in all these muscles that you've just suddenly had ripped open and whatever. And that was really, really difficult. Two solid days. I mean, I was probably a bit more nuts, like asking for the morphine and them kind of things, because I didn't have anybody to change nappies. Didn't have anybody to get Azalea changed, get anything out my suitcase, get anything for myself. So I kind of, stewed in bed.
Yeah.
And really tried my hardest. And I remember one day she was just, first time I experienced it, when a baby's born, it's that sick.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, where they just, keep vomiting. It's like the fluid or something. So then she was going, purple. And I'm literally running out of the room, bearing in mind I couldn't move. I thought, what am I going to do? Running down the corridor, I just shout, she's going purple. It really scared me.
Yeah.
Really scared me. And nurse came, literally popped her over, out the sitcom. But, I mean, I had to jump out of bed, literally, not long after having a C-section, like the same day.
Yeah.
To do that. And that was really, really hard.
Yeah.
Hats off to every woman out there that's had a baby anyway and a C-section.
Yeah, it's funny. Difficult. I was talking about that earlier, how, you know, when it comes to C-sections, they're not given enough credit for what they are, you know.
I feel like they're kind of targeted as an easy option.
Yeah, and it's not that at all. It's major surgery that someone's going through. And like you say, it's many layers that have been cut open and stitched back together.
It's difficult, really, really hard. And then, you know... Having you there helping out, it was a blessing.
What was it like when they were finally home?
Yeah, to be honest, one thing I find strange, everyone will always say to you, your life will change, you know? Big difference. And what kind of bugs me about it is everyone kind of says it as if it's a negative or looks at you as if you're not going to be able to do it or it's going to be difficult. I didn't find one part of it difficult because... Mm. Doing something that you love or doing something for the person that you love comes easy. Yeah. It comes natural because it's not about you. It's about them. So I just absolutely loved it. I mean, for me, I could have been a stay-at-home dad. I literally loved it. And I don't mind getting up in the night. I don't mind doing nappies. I just kind of loved being around my baby.
Mm.
And I loved what my baby brought to our lives. And you know, when I was tired of just doing meaningless stuff or doing stuff to try and occupy myself, now I had a little baby girl who took up all my time, took up all my attention, and I couldn't have thought of anything better. It was just perfect. So having them back was unbelievable for me.
Yeah.
And for the short period of time when I had to do most of the stuff because you couldn't move, that was fine as well. But it's also really good that she got on her feet really quick and took some of the load. I wasn't encouraging at all.
He's pampered, aren't you?
So what were those first few weeks like at home then, as a family unit? Were there loads of visitors? Were there more did like more dancing in the lounge.
Visitors, weren't there?
We've got to think, but at that point as well, what are we forgetting? Still COVID.
No visitors.
What a lot of people forget and what we kind of like dismiss
period,
on a pregnancy, COVID, childbirth, COVID, first couple of months of child's life, COVID.
Yeah.
Finding out the news, going to hospital, COVID. There wasn't a stage where we're out of COVID.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So with all the family that did want to come round and did want to hold Azalea and did want to be there, like window visits or, you know, like going up someone's door.
It did get lowered. Yeah. We did have that interval where it kind of did get lowered because that's where we've got, like, all of our family get-togethers and we had a party, didn't we, for Azalea and Anaya. And it was nice because it was being able to kind of bring the family together and, like, celebrate the two babies. And me and Amy would be running upstairs and changing nappies. And it's kind of like, oh, my God, this time last year we'd be drinking or, you know, like, you'd be up here. Like, and so we did have them, like, nice times where, you know, my brother, he was able to come with my nephew and my sister-in-law and be able to kind of come and meet her and, you know, to see the kids together.
To be honest, though, it's really funny that you asked that question because for me, honestly, that's a kind of time that I forgot about.
Really?
Yeah, because it's a bit... it's a time that I forgot about because everything after was so... I don't know how to explain it, but you kind of forget that we had her when she was healthy... beautiful little baby. I mean, she's always a beautiful baby, but you forget them times where we didn't know that she had leukemia.
Yeah.
We weren't battling. We had the times where it was just her being free and us trying to do normal stuff with our baby. So it's really weird that you brought that out because it's the first time I've really thought about that stage in I don't know how long.
But I guess those are the really important memories to remember.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
And it's good to take time to look at those photos of those moments and videos.
I think
even off the back of lockdown, those moments like that were even more special because they were held back.
Yeah.
At what point did you start getting concerned about Azalea?
So I was changing her nappy one day. And this is looking back. So at the time, obviously, new mom, it's kind of like, oh, what's this? Or, oh, what's that? So these things kind of popped up. Mm. So at first, it was blood in her nappy. So it happened once and I contacted the doctors and it was just like, oh, you know, like newborns, these things can kind of happen. Then it happened again and I rang and it's just like, oh, okay, is it a lot or still just a little bit? Okay, and then it didn't happen again.
Right.
And then the things like colic. Azalea was breastfeeding, so like winding and all that kind of thing is not as significant as if you're bottle feeding. Mm-hmm. So it was a case of then expressing and putting the... them things in, so she'd get that. So it was kind of like very gradually over, after 4 weeks, and this is only me looking back on pictures of in my on my iCloud to see when I sent them to the doctors. So 4 weeks, and then like a week later, and then it was colic, and then it was thrush in the mouth. Which babies can get. So went to the doctors again, got that. Then she got weighed. Then I went for the 6-week checkup into the doctors. But at this point, me looking back on it now, it's the biggest highlight ever because I know the signs, I know the symptoms, and I think now, how did somebody else not know? She was literally had a 6-week checkup on the in the doctor's bed, felt for everything, looked in her eyes, everything. But that was a bit strange. Then everything's okay.
Right.
So then one day we came back home and I was changing Azalea's nappy again. And as I opened the nappy, has seen a bruise. But because she'd had colic and everything else that everybody was mm-hmm. saying, everyone was kind of holding her and she was enjoying being bound, yeah. as like many babies do. And I thought, oh, okay, maybe somebody's kind of like pushed on a bit too rough or something. And when I seen there was the bruise, because I already know I've got a medical background, I put my finger over the bruise and there was a lump under the bruise. So that's alarm bells already, being a lump under a bruise. So we took a picture, and then the following day sent the picture to the doctors, basically, which then that's when we started Azalea's journey of her diagnosis. But if me looking back in hindsight through my pictures, signs of blood, signs of her stomach swollen, her stomach, tummy was hard, her eyes were closed, mm-hmm. cold type symptoms. So all of these things now that me and Ashley could just look at and think, that is the biggest alarm bell. It was really disheartening that there wasn't somebody in that process that could have helped, you know, because I'd constantly, if there was something wrong, I'd ring the doctors to ask about certain situations. And I wouldn't really say that I'm a panicking person. Mm-hmm. I'm a person that would see a problem and deal with a problem rather than doing anything else, you know, like calling doctors. You know, I think, oh, maybe we need some of this or try these options first. But considering I would just go to the doctors, to a professional, because I thought it's not myself, it's my daughter, it was conversations that we'd have. It's like, okay, doctors.
Well, I guess doctors are so used to seeing children with colic, children with colds, you know, babies
but that's not good. This is why what we're doing is so important now, because we took our daughter to the doctors and we got told that she had a cold, we got told she had colic, we got told that she had constipation, we were given things for her nose. We were given things for her nose to get snot out. We were given laxatives. And all of that time, our daughter had such a high leukemia count. It was scary. She had tumours in her spine, in her stomach, in her spleen, in her lungs. And we're getting sent away from the doctors saying she's got constipation. Now, we pushed, and we kind of pushed for that.
Yeah.
But if we'd have left it another 2 weeks, we'd have woke up at home and our daughter wouldn't have been breathing. So what we kind of want to do is we kind of want to make people aware of the signs and the symptoms. So then parents, if they do see something, they can catch it early. Mm. If they do get turned away from the doctors, they can go back in and push for another opinion or a second opinion, because A matter of weeks is crucial. Yeah. Even a matter of days is vital when you've got these symptoms. Mm. And that's the kind of scary thing. And that's why we want to kind of shine a light on childhood cancer. If you're going to a GP, right, like, and you've took your baby 3 times, take their blood.
Yeah.
Give them a test. Because, and if you are concerned about your baby, I feel like push for that.
And I think also that there's a lot to do with funding in these areas, massive amounts that can be changed and give more awareness to by funding. And even taking a blood test, it costs money to take these blood samples, to put them through. So it's kind of like these are the areas that we're really trying to, at the minute, brainstorm of what we can do to try and make a bit of a change, aren't we? So I think that's important as well, you know, like with the funds and education, mm-hmm. of kind of bringing them together and giving an insight for everything. And that's, Azalea didn't get put here for no reason. And we are going to make sure that we do our full force to help so many families, and the community together is to come together to make a difference.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
So with Azalea, was the bruise and the lump the thing that completely mm-hmm. changed everything?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, after sending over the picture to the doctors, the next day, as a new parent, we haven't had much time together. So we just decided to have a few hours and have a little bit of time out for us. And my mum was itching to look after her granddaughter. So it was kind of like, okay, you know, you can have her for a few hours so we can have some quality time together. And in the meantime, I got a phone call to say from the doctors that Azalea needs to go to A&E, like, emergency, like, you need to take her there.
You're not told why at this point?
No, just that she needs to go. From looking at the picture and giving a little bit of a write-up about it, she needs to go there. So what happened was, obviously, my mum was looking after Azalea. As I called her to tell her what the doctor said, she then said that she's in an ambulance already on the way to the hospital. So me and Ashley came back from where we were and we got straight to the hospital. And then at this point, our life's just crashed.
And we're going to take a pause now. And if you want to hear the second part of the interview with Ashley and Sophia, please listen to part two.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.